You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Ball camp is officially over. Arkansas will start its preparation for the Cincinnati season opener on Thursday. Razorbacks went through their final preseason practice, if you will, on Wednesday afternoon in Fayetteville. Like I said, they'll practice on Thursday. They'll have a mock game on Friday. That's a change from previously when they originally had scheduled their mock game for Saturday. They'll just have a light practice on Saturday. They'll be off on Sunday, and then they'll get into it next week, and it'll be game week for the season opener against the Bearcats on September the 3rd. Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com and Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Bob, you were at practice today. What did you see?
Well, we didn't get to see a whole lot, but Brady Latham, you know, their starting guard, he was not at practice for the second straight day. We're not exactly sure what's going on, but he has some kind of injury, and I guess we'll have to get that from Sam Pitt when we talk to him tomorrow. But Tykes Crawford, who was working right tackle behind Dalton Wagner, but I'm guessing was also getting some first team work there in practice. He's been working at, or I guess it's right guard, I'm sorry. So, but he said he's, you know, we talked to him and Shad Stewart after practice, he said he's comfortable playing anywhere. And he said he'd start. He was 380 when he got here last year, transferred from Charlotte. He's down to 315. So he's really, changed his body. He says he feels a lot better, moving a lot better. And noticed that Keytron Jackson is working, getting some work in the slot receiver with the first team, just a little, what they call fastball starts. We saw is just four plays with first team, second team, third team. Saw a little bit of that. That was about the extent of anything newsy of practice. We got to see three periods. So, but they were in spiders, or what I guess some people call spiders, which is not full pads, you know, shorts. They have a little protection there on their shoulders, I guess, to make sure nobody gets hurt. But, you know, a light practice today, I think, is they're getting their legs back under him, you know, for – because, you know, the game's getting closer and closer. And then, like you said, tomorrow they start working on Cincy. And the player said, I think they're excited to start working on an opponent. I think they're tired of hitting each other and kind of focusing on that. They're ready to really get into Cincinnati game plan, I think. I know Sam Pittman said as far back as Atlanta in SEC media days that, you know, Tykes is a guy that, you know, he needs to get on the field. So I think he was going to play somewhere, whether it's tackle or guard. But somebody asked him about, you know, if he's comfortable there, and he said he's basically comfortable playing anywhere. And he just sounded real confident. You know, not cocky, but just very confident, you know, in his abilities. And I think he feels like he's definitely ready to play whatever role they need him to play.
Yeah, they've talked a lot about playing him on the right side. Obviously, he's worked at right tackle behind Dalton Wagner. Has worked out some, I think, at right guard this preseason. And then Sam Pittman had kind of floated the idea of playing him at left tackle too. I guess that basically comes down to whatever the dominant hand is for an offensive lineman. They kind of like them to play at that spot on the field, but I guess sometimes it's hard to find left-handers to play over on the left side. But it doesn't sound like playing right or left side is anything that is a big issue to him one way or the other.
It didn't sound like, you know, yeah, a lot of times you're right. You know, on the right side, you have a certain stance. On the left side, you have a certain stance. It's kind of like batting left-handed or batting right-handed. But he indicated that wasn't an issue for him, that he felt. And I know, you know, I think this happened a lot more with COVID when, you didn't know what plays you might have week to week. It was important to cross-train guys at, you know, offensive line, defensive line, and secondary, things like that, probably different receiver positions. But I think with the offensive line, it's always you want to get your five best on the field, right? Whatever combination that is. And then if somebody gets hurt or somebody needs a break, okay, what's our next five best combination? Maybe it's moving this guy to the other side, or maybe it's moving this guy from tackle to guard, or whatever the case may be, moving this guy from guard to center. So I think, camp is big and I'm sure the summer too is big for figuring out who all can play where, and just the more versatile you can be, the better it's going to be for the team. And, you know, you can just kind of plug guys in and out, and that's the way a guy can get on the field. It's like, well, he can only play right tackle. Well, no, he can play guard. He can play the left side. And that way you feel like you're going to get your best combination on there, whatever, whoever is available to you at that particular time.
Yeah, I think he's established himself as Arkansas's top reserve offensive lineman. And I think if they have an injury anywhere along that front five, that he's going to be the guy to step in, even if they have an injury at center. Because if Stromberg's out, I think they'll move one of the guards over to that center spot. And then Tykes Crawford would just move into that guard spot. And so I think he really provides them cover at both tackles and the guards.
Yeah, he just seems like a very versatile guy, and the fact that he's lost all that weight's impressive. He basically we asked him, well, how'd you do that? And he's basically Jamil Walker and his staff, you know, the strength conditioning coach. And he said he altered it, you know, doesn't eat as much as he used to. I wish I could say that. But, you know, that's impressive. I mean, losing 65 pounds, that's not easy to do. And, you know, maintain strength and, you know, conditioning and all that. So my hat's off to him, because I don't. It's not easy to lose weight. I can attest to that.
You know, I think it's interesting that they're playing Crawford at left guard. And I wonder if that tells us anything about how they feel about Luke Jones at left tackle, because obviously Crawford could switch over and play that left tackle position. Jones was in a position battle with Latham last year at left guard. And so it's interesting to me that they keep Jones at tackle and they move Crawford into the guard spot. We don't know what's going on with Brady Latham. And like Bob said, we'll have a chance to ask Sam Pittman about that whenever he speaks with the media tomorrow. Speaking of Sam Pittman, we'll talk a little bit later in our podcast. He spoke at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club today, and that was insightful listening to him for about 40 minutes. Bob was there, and I do want to get Bob's thoughts on this. We've got Bob for just a few more minutes. He just stepped out of the interview room. He's been over at practice this afternoon. Bob, Dominic Johnson has practiced again this week, came back in individual work earlier this week, and we were talking a couple of days ago, Scotty was mentioning just how much better he looked than maybe he thought he would. What have you seen from Johnson since he's gotten back on the field?
Well, he's wearing the green no contact jersey, of course. But yeah, he looks the little bit I've seen. He looks like he's moving pretty well. You know, running and cutting okay. But I don't know if that means he'd play against Cincinnati. My guess is they'll be, you know, very careful for him. Are very careful with him. Obviously, don't want to relapse on that injury. But I think it's a real positive for him and the team that he's out practicing and doing some things. He looks good, but obviously, you know, being in practice, not getting contact, it's a whole different deal than playing Cincinnati or playing South Carolina. But I think it's a plus that he's out there doing anything at all. And when he's able to return to the field for games, we'll see. I certainly don't think they'll rush him back. They have. Not that they, you know, can't use him. He's a really good player, but Rocket Sanders is kind of the main guy there, and you've got some other good players behind him, and of course KJ, he's like a running back himself, a quarterback. So I certainly don't think they're going to rush him back, but they'll be very glad to get him whenever he's ready. Whether that's, you know, Cincinnati or South Carolina or beyond that, but it's definitely positive that they're doing stuff.
Bob, we'll get you out of here after we talk about Sam Pittman for just a minute. We're going to play some of his comments on the other side of the break. But you were there at the Hilton Garden Inn today. Just what stood out to you that Sam Pittman spoke about?
Well, he's just such a good speaker. I know he had some notes there, but he's just a natural, you know, he's just got such a good, I think, down-to-earth, you know, wit about him. And I think the Arkansas fans really relate to him. And he's, I thought it was interesting, you know, you asked him about being on Cincinnati staff, and I didn't realize that was a really impressive staff. You know, you talk about John Harbaugh, who, you know, NFL head coach, won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, still the Ravens coach, Rex Ryan, you know, head coach in the NFL with the Jets, and, you know, longtime defensive coordinator, both on that staff, Kim Dameron. Who played for the Razorbacks. He's from Rogers, and I guess he's a Southside coach now. And he was a head coach in college at Eastern Illinois. That was actually, I think that was Chad Morris's first game as Arkansas's coach, they actually won that game because Eastern Illinois was an FCS team.
Yeah.
And even those Razorbacks that struggled could beat a 1AA team, as I like to call them. But yeah, that was an impressive staff. And Sam was just there that 1 year. Rick Mentor, who'd been a GA at Arkansas and went to Henderson State. So a lot of Arkansas ties. And Sam kind of did some self-deprecating stuff. Like, yeah, they had, John Harbaugh and Rex Ryan and me. And, well, hey, you're an SEC head coach, and you went 9-4 last year. And I thought it was interesting. I give Sam credit for, saying that not that he didn't have faith and confidence in the players and the coaches, but he couldn't have expected them to go 9-4 last year. I was glad to see he said he probably didn't expect it. And so saying, oh, yeah, I knew a long 9 wins was in the bag. He talked about how he learned a lot from that Auburn loss. And that was maybe the first game all year that Arkansas was favored to win. They'd been an underdog in pretty much they might have been an underdog in every game the year before, too, because that was an all-SEC schedule. I can't imagine a game that Arkansas was favored in the year before. So that was. Arkansas was at home and they were playing Auburn. Auburn had kind of struggled, and you felt like, wow, Arkansas's got a really good shot to win this game. Then Auburn played really well, and Arkansas didn't play particularly well. And some moves Sam made didn't go well as far as going for it on fourth down, having Cam Little try a pretty long field goal. And he talked about how he just pressed too much in that game instead of saying, hey, let them mess up. I mean, Auburn. And so he said he learned a lot from that as a head coach. I thought that was interesting. I also thought it was revealing. A lot of coaches, they won't admit that they made some mistakes. And he was pretty, out there about saying, hey, I pressed too much and I learned from that. I thought that was interesting that he did that. He talked about not having an ego. I think we all have egos, to a certain degree. But yeah, Sam's definitely not, one of these guys who thinks he knows it all or he invented offense or whatever, but he really relayed well to the audience. You can just see how much the fans really love him, and it's just a really perfect fit, I think, him being the Arkansas coach, Arkansas is a place for him, and he's the coach for Arkansas.
Well, I think he's probably the most popular person in the state right now. It might depend on the season, it's like, because all these teams are doing so well. And, so at a certain point, Sam Pittman's most popular. At a certain point, Eric Musselman might be the most popular. At a certain point, Dave Van Horn might be the most popular. I guess during the summertime when they all get contract extensions, Hunter Yurecek's the most popular. But right now it's football season, and Pittman's the most popular. Yeah, you hear people talk about coaches, and they say they could run for governor if they wanted to, and they'd probably win it. And I think maybe they've got enough sense to stay out of politics. but it was really cool having him there today, and you could just really tell how much that crowd admires him and appreciates the work that he's done.
Yeah, I guess I was too busy eating, but it sounded like Sam made the rounds of all the tables. He didn't eat, I don't think.
He definitely worked the room. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So I think that says something, because I don't know if there were, how many people do you think were there? 300 or something, maybe? I didn't count
in the hundreds. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good big crowd. And he went by, and obviously some of the people there are probably big money donors, and some are just probably fans, but he mentioned keeping the coordinators together and how you don't keep them with a pat on the back, you keep them by being financially competitive with other schools that are coming after them. And he said, hey, probably some of the people in this room helped us with that, meaning their donations helped Arkansas increase the salaries for Barry Odom and Kendall Briles to keep that staff together. So he didn't mention LSU by name, but he talked about how, and he's talking about the importance of coordinators. LSU won the national title in 2019. Dave Aranda was their defensive coordinator, and he left to take the Baylor head coaching job. And I guess the boy genius wasn't their offensive coordinator, he's their passing game coordinator. His name was escaping. He won the Burroughs Award, so I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember. He went to
Joe Brady. Joe Brady.
Yep, Joe Brady, right. Joe Brady went to the Carolina Panthers, and things haven't worked out real well there. But you know, so LSU lost both their coordinators. And, you know, Ed Orgeron, who, of course, has ties to Arkansas, is GA here for Ken Hatfield. And they had a really rough year in 2020. You know, they fell off. And then, you know, by the next year, Ed was, I guess he resigned, you know, during the year, effective at the end of the year. But he was essentially, you know, fired. I mean, it was a pretty amicable. It was about as amicable firing as I can remember. Everybody had a big press conference and praising each other. But, you know, actually, Sam did not mention LSU by name, but he mentioned teams that win national championships lose their coordinators and they have losing records and somebody gets fired. Well, it's pretty clear who he's referring to. He's LSU. He's not referring to Dabo Swinney or Nick Saban in there. And so, you know, that was to underscore how important it is to keep, you know, if you feel like you have good quality coordinators, it's really important to keep them. And he said, you know, he didn't want to lose coordinators unless, you know, they're getting head coaching jobs. And obviously, you know, it'd be tough to lose those guys, but, you know, Sam got his chance to be head coach and Barry Odom already has been a head coach, but I'm sure he'd love to see, if it's the right situations, he'd love to see Barry get another head coaching job, love to see Kendall Briles get his shot to be a head coach. And he also mentioned the importance of keeping, you know, Jamil Walker as a strength conditioning coach, Scott Fountain as their special teams guy. I mean, the special teams have vastly improved over the last couple of years. You can tell the way the players are conditioned and, you know, the guys that need to lose weight, lose weight. The guys that need to gain weight, gain weight. And that goes back to the strength and conditioning staff. And so I know some teams have made runs at Jamil Walker. And so, you know, it's really important, you know, to Sam that he's able to, been able to keep those core guys. You know, he doesn't want to lose anybody he wants to keep, you know, but those guys are really important. They're sort of like on a baseball team, the catcher, shortstop, center fielder. I mean, you keep those core guys up the middle, and that helps everything keep rolling along like it should.
Yeah, like you mentioned, there have been a lot of teams that have made runs at those, at that group of coaches. Walker, South Carolina, who comes in here week two, they've made a push at him recently after Shane Beamer was hired there. Beamer had been on the staff at Georgia with Sam Pittman and Jamil Walker. Bob will have more at our website soon, wholehogsports.com, on Sam Pittman's speech today at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Hope you will visit our website and take a look at that. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you always get the best service and the best buying experience in the state.
It's Shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
We talked a lot in the first segment about the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. You might be asking yourself, what is that? It's a group that meets on a pretty routine basis. We talk about the Razorbacks. We also talk about high school sports. It's just kind of a celebration of sports in our area. Our next meeting is going to be September the 7th when Hunter Juracek speaks. It's going to be at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fayetteville. That's right off of Weddington Drive. And if you want more information about that, visit nwadealpiggy.com. That's nwadealpiggy.com. You can find all of our information there about tickets for Hunter Juracek, some other speakers that we've announced, and we hope to see you at our next Hogs Illustrated Sports Club meeting. All right, we talked some about Sam Pittman, and we promised you some audio from what he had to say today, and we're going to play a clip here. This is going to be just kind of a mashup of some of the highlights of what he said, and at the end, you'll hear some Q&A between myself and Sam Pittman at today's Hogs Illustrated Sports Club.
We were very, very honored that you know, those trophies that we have in our, they're in the front of our building over there. There's four of them, and they're in a trophy case. A year ago, there was zero. And I think that's a really big deal because you're looking at, you know, beating quality teams with LSU and getting the Boot and A&M and getting the Southwest Classic and then Missouri getting the Battle Line Trophy and, of course, winning the Outback Bowl and getting against Penn State and getting that trophy. But that was a big deal to our team. You know, we set goals, and one of them is to win. And if we win, the name of the team we beat doesn't matter to us. We're going to celebrate it. And I think in life sometimes, even though you expect to do it, you ought to celebrate it if you achieve it. This season, all 12 of the opponents that we play qualified for postseason play last year. We're the only team in the nation that has that award, if you would. They've been trying to run me out of town now for 3 years. We've had the hardest schedule for the third year in a row, and we're not going to let them get us. They're not going to get us, you know. So
Sam, I wanted to ask you, you know, it feels like you've been here longer than you have because so much has happened since you got hired. Has it been a quicker turnaround than you expected? Obviously, you expected to be able to get the program turned around, but has it happened quicker?
Well, it didn't seem like it the first year, you know. Even though there was some really great things going on the first year, you know, it really was. I mean, our kids were competing and fighting. You know, I always been a big, huge Arkansas fan, you know, so I always thought Arkansas could be whatever the hell they wanted to be honest with you. But I knew we had a team. I knew we'd have to win the close games, but to get to 9 in year 2, I'd be lying too if I said I probably expected that. I probably did not. But that doesn't mean I didn't trust and believe in the kids and the coaching staff. It's just we play in a heck of a league, you know.
10 days you play Cincinnati. Any game day rituals, superstitions that you go through, wear the same socks, anything like that?
Well, let me think. I will say this. Game day, mm-hmm. I'm the guy who sits front of the bus. It's kind of cool. You're coming down to deal. I'm the guy everybody's, hey, you know, it's weird. I mean, the first 2 years they're waving at me, and I'm going, who the hell are they waving at on here? You know? Game day rituals? No, not really. You know, I'll tell you a secret. So we get about two hours and five minutes before the game, we come in, and we always go out on the field. I don't know why. Did they put a new field in? You know, I don't know. Probably not. But I don't know why you go down there. But I do. Every single time I go down there and look at the field. Like it's not going to be lined. There ain't going to be a big hog on it. I don't know why I do that. And I think of three things. Now, I've had it for the most of the time. I've had it ready in my mind. But I think of three things, and I put it into a word of what I'm going to say to the team before they run out on the field. And so that's, I guess that would be a ritual. I try to put it in to a word, like tag, you know, and so the T word means something to me, the A word means something to me, the G word means something to me, and I put it in order of how I want to talk to the team about it. There's things that are money can't buy. That's also one of them. When you're in there and you're talking to your team before you're getting ready to run through the A, can't buy it. It's priceless.
That was a fun time doing a Q&A with Sam Pittman today as you heard some of those quotes. Andrew, you heard those. What were your thoughts as you heard him talk today?
Honestly, he just kind of seemed like a different guy in a non-press conference setting. He seemed a lot more relaxed, humorous, and kind of at ease with a stressful part of his season or year coming up.
Yeah, you know, I think Sam Pittman's very personable, and it's interesting. You know, I was sitting up there with him in front of the crowd, and for the longest time, I'm sitting there talking to him, and I'm not even thinking about there's all these people out there watching us. It just feels like you're having this conversation with him, and he's just so comfortable in that setting. And you know, there are so many different hats a head football coach has to wear And one of them is, you know, that hat of getting out, speaking in public. I don't know that that was something that Pittman was really that fond of when he first got the job. I don't know that it wasn't something that he wasn't good at. But what I've really noticed here over the last couple of years is that he feels a lot more at ease. And I would have to think that probably some of that has to do with the fact that he's got a 9-win football team. And when football is in season, there's not a more popular person in the state of Arkansas right now than him, at least over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I think a part of Sam Pittman's persona that really helps fans gravitate toward him is just the fact that he's kind of just a regular guy and a blue collar and humble and just genuine. And I think that he portrays himself as much of a Razorback fan as the Razorback faithful is. And I noticed a couple times during the luncheon today, he referred to the Razorbacks and Arkansas, the whole state, as we, and he kept saying, we were this and we were that, when he was talking about before he had even been the head coach at the university. And he mentioned how he grew up in Grove, Oklahoma, and how much the Razorbacks meant to him. And I thought he really conveyed that well today.
Grove, not too far from Fayetteville. I think he said that he had seen somewhere, he was talking about, he said every time that he makes a comment, before he knows it, it's on a t-shirt somewhere, whether it's a t-shirt about it being a proud state or turn the jukebox on or whatever the case may be. And I think he said that he had seen a t-shirt that said Annex Grove, Oklahoma, which I thought was kind of a humorous part of that. You know, but he's an everyman. He really is. And yes, he's making $5 million a year. Yes, he's got this very high profile job, but he doesn't seem to me any different than he did when he was an assistant coach here for 3 years, when he would come in and he would hold court with the media and take his shoes off while he did it. He just really hasn't changed a whole lot, I don't think. Obviously, you know, the pressures and the responsibilities and things going on in his professional world are a lot different than whenever he was here 3 years ago. You know, one of the things that I had the most enjoyment, I guess, talking with him during the Q&A today was just this idea of, it actually came from a question that someone asked during a press conference last week. I think it might've been Tom Murphy who asked it. And it was basically how teams don't run sprints anymore. And after practice, and you know, that used to be this, you know, that's how practice would end. Teams would line up and they'd run sprints, they'd run gassers, and they'd run snakes, whatever the case might be. And they don't really do that anymore. And he was asked, why don't you do that? And he said that basically it's because nowadays players don't ever leave. Whereas when he was playing, and even up until probably about 15 years ago, players would go off for the summer and they'd have jobs. And the jobs that he mentioned when he talked about that was roofing houses, fixing fences, mixing mud. And it hit me when he said that these were all jobs that he had told me previously that he had growing up. And it was kind of interesting. I said, you were drawing on that experience when you were drawing on your own personal experience when you were answering that question, weren't you?
Yeah, he talked a little bit about how the athletes in today's world are just always doing something active and keeping themselves in shape. And that's why they aren't having to run those sprints, because they're focused on football nearly year round. And I think that just goes to show that how much of a focus that today's college athletes have to have on their craft and their sport. And just especially in the SEC, where football is really the lifeblood of even the athletes and the fans and just the overall lifestyle in the SEC itself.
Yeah, there's really no turning it off. There's no turning it off, is there? I mean, it's what these, and sometimes I wonder about if maybe that's what leads to this influx or this proliferation in transfers. Obviously, it's easier to transfer now. You know, you can pretty much get eligible anywhere you want to go at any time you want to transfer. But it's just this, you know, the players never really get away from it. And I wonder sometimes how much that weighs on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're playing at this level in the premier conference in college football, that your ultimate goal has to be to make it to that next level. And if you're going to do that, I guess you don't really have the ability to take your mind off it and kind of have that vacation and be a normal kid and not focus on football, really.
Well, Sam Pittman was great at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We really appreciate him being there. Again, Hunter Yurecek is going to be there on September 7th. If you didn't get a chance to see Pittman today, see and hear him at our club, I want to encourage you, if you are in the Fayetteville area, to come over for our next luncheon. That's September 7th. It's going to be the Wednesday following the Cincinnati game. Again, Hunter Yurecek will be there. We've also got Casey Dick, as I mentioned, lined up. We've got Maria Fossey, an LPGA star, lined up. Mike Neighbors is coming back. And we've got a few others whose dates we haven't announced quite yet, but we will very soon. And we appreciate you joining us on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Hope you'll join us at our website, wholehogsports.com. You can find more there from Sam Pittman's speech on Wednesday. Also, all of our latest football coverage for Andrew Joseph and Bob Holt. I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.